Hey everyone, it's Lynn Lee, founder of Society and I. We're back with another episode and I'm super excited for this episode because first off, we are about a month away from election day, election of our lives here. And there was no better guest, more fitting guest for the time than one of our own brand ambassadors, Jenny Bender, who's based out of Austin, Texas. She's the founder of Fit to Vote, which I don't want to say what it is yet because this is her baby and I'm so excited for her to talk about it, especially with the timing. And she's also an instructor and personal trainer at Ride Indoor Cycling and Heat Boot Camp in Austin, Texas. And she's been an OG ride or die Society 9 brand ambassador for a long time now, since we came out. So super grateful to have her here and to talk about all the things that are going on election. So hi, Jenny.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. It's so good to see your face. I know not everyone gets to see your face. Only I get to see your face right now.
Only you.
But yeah, so you had told me about Fit to Vote a few weeks ago when it was literally like a napkin sketch and a single logo on a single Instagram page that just started. And now all of a sudden you had like a media event and all these things. So can you tell us about like the inception of Fit to Vote? Like what inspired you, how it's morphed and evolved? Just give us the backstory.
Yeah, totally. And first of all, thank you for having me. When I first started, hanging around the Society 9 peeps, like I would listen to the podcast where I was like doing my dishes. So this is awesome. anyways.
So comes full circle.
Right? It truly. If we're learning anything this year, like the cycles. Yeah.
Deep sighs. This is a year of deep sighs.
Truly. So Fit to Vote is, it's my little brainchild. It's like my little baby. It's so fun, but also kind of weird to hear like the founder of Fit to Vote. I'm like, I like to come up with these creative names. Like, this is my brainchild. I'm pretty sure that is what it is in my Instagram bio. But it's to explain it. It's a social media campaign as well as a community activation just for Austin for now. This was kind of my trial run and I'm definitely interested in expanding. But Fit to Vote has the goal of engaging our fitness community and bringing it together to create a different dialogue on what it looks like to be politically engaged on our social medias as well as instructors. Mm. And this really came to me because I, in 2017, moved up to Austin and I started working in boutique fitness, which, a lot of us are quite familiar with. And it was a little bit alarming to me how much power we're given as instructors. Mm-hmm. It's like, teach this class. And then all of a sudden I was, I came from like group fitness background, Gold's Gym, getting paid $18-$20 a class. And then all of a sudden it was this thing where I was teaching classes, but there was also photo shoots. And then I had to have a social media presence and then I had to network and I was just like, oh my gosh. I played the game and sometimes it's fun, sometimes it's not as fun. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you realize you're in contact with so many different people from all walks of life. And then, this person works at this hotel and this person works for this drink brand and this person works for this like food brand. And it's like, all of a sudden you realize like you have this huge contact list as well as you're seeing 100-something people, well, pre-COVID, 100-something people, a week, sometimes a day, depending on how many classes you teach and the capacity of the studios pre-COVID. And so with all of that, this was like back in 2018 midterm elections, I had started to build up my presence as an instructor in Austin. And at the time I was teaching kickboxing and I had seen a lot of my clients and some instructors really get excited about voting in the midterm elections. Mm. And I was like, wow, this is the first time I've really seen that, broadcasted over social media. That's really cool. At the same time, I was seeing a lot of people not talk about it, but we're saying, you know, vote for me in this. We have a local fitness magazine. For me in this, local fitness magazine as best, you know, spin instructor, group fitness instructor, trainer, whatever.
Right.
And I was just really, it honestly made me a little annoyed.
Mm.
I'm going to be honest. It honestly pissed me off. Because
we celebrate honesty here.
Thank you. It's always been a really strange thing to me, this like fitness trainer persona thing. And so for me, I think I've always felt like if I'm working towards influence, right? Quote unquote influence, like what is the point? Then how am I using it? And that should be important. And that should be for good. And that should be for change because, you know, look around, we're living in a pretty wild world right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that a lot of people don't feel that way, but that was, I think, where the initial spark came from. I was like, well, we need to change that. Like, I think that a lot of people are afraid to use their social media platforms to be politically engaged or to make a comment or repost a meme or something. And like, at the same time, so 2018, right before the midterms, I was experiencing that. And I thought like, what if I posted a meme or a slide or something on my Instagram story, because Instagram story had recently come out,
mm-hmm.
and you know, someone doesn't want to come to my class because I posted something and it was a differing opinion. And I said to myself, I like had to really think about it, and I had to come to Jesus with myself. And I was the conclusion I came to was, if that person, say that were to happen, if that person couldn't hold space for the fact that we have differing sets of values and views and ideals, and does not want to come into a space with me and allow that difference to be in existence, then maybe that's not the kind of person I want to be in my class 5 times a week. There are plenty of instructors in the city. There are plenty of instructors at, you know, different studios, or at your studio, you know, and, you know, you have to think to yourself, like, I'm not for everyone, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. And so then I posted my first politically charged meme, and it was, my favorite season is the fall of the patriarchy.
Oh, such a classic Jenny Bender meme. Yeah.
Well, but of course.
I support that.
Yeah. So these like three functioning pieces of like me finding my voice of, or my why and my voice and my decision to be more outspoken on social media, and then seeing people get engaged and really inspire me, and then seeing people not have anything to say made me think, okay, we've got these three different things happening, and as much as we all love a moment to just like, you know, talk shit or be like, did you see these people didn't blink and I don't think they're voting and blah, blah. Like, I don't like to do, there's only so long that can last and feel good. And so within these like three separate pieces, I was like, what's the solution here? Mm-hmm. And so I thought of this, I think storytelling is really powerful. And so I said, well, what if as fitness instructors and trainers and a community, what if we could all come together and share our why, and collectively have this influence and power? If we could all bring our influence and power together and say, this is why I vote, I think that is leading by example. And I think more than that, there's this kind of like trendy coolness about it that's like, oh, you weren't thinking of voting, well, like, here are all these people that you really admire that vote, maybe you should second guess that decision not to. So that's, long story long, really how Fit to Vote was initially conceived.
I think it's really amazing that you basically identified, and not that your method is everyone's method, but you basically identified what was already happening, which was an active conversation in your community, you know, amongst other fitness instructors who, like you said, carry this power and influence that a lot of people don't realize, even, you know, whether it's at a local level or nationally. And you're right, because trainers, I mean, I think about when even I used to teach, it was always kind of weird to me that people were asking me for advice on things. I was like, listen, I'm just here to teach, blast some hip hop, make you feel good, and then leave, whatever. But it was always really interesting to see that kind of influence and those conversations, like you said, were already happening, like whether it's venting about this particular politician or venting about a social justice issue and being upset. And it's like, I call them the echo chambers, right? And
absolutely.
And the echo chambers are needed because everyone needs safe space for camaraderie and bonding around shared values. But I think this is why you and I are kindred spirits, is because that energy is taxing. It's like reliving grief, trauma, anger, all these things over and over and over again, and it's non-productive. So, and I want to highlight too the point that you made about influence and how you were like, we already have the influence. What if we multiply our individual influences times 10, 20, whatever, because now we're a group leveraging that. So that's the origin, but now you're here. We're like 30 days out from the election. First debate with these candidates is tonight, which is going to be a dumpster fire.
I'm working till like about 9 p.m. I'm, for those of you that don't know, I'm in Austin, Texas, so that's Central Standard Time. And I just am like, you know, long day. Do I go home and watch them? Do I just wait till tomorrow? I'm always a huge fan of like, wait till you have the space.
Yeah.
Because you're not doing anyone any good by taking that on without. I'm going to feel it out when I get home tonight.
Yeah. And politics is also like, it is a very reactive arena. So tell us about some of the things that Fit to Vote has already done. So like, that was the origin story. And then you like,
origin story.
Yeah, but I love origin stories. Like people ask about the Society and I origin story all the time. And even though like, you've probably...
I finished the story.
I know. I wish I had a fireplace. Some hot chocolate.
I'm actually drinking tea right now.
Oh, there you go. More adult than hot chocolate. So origin story, you're like, okay, this needs to exist. Started Kahootson with a couple of other instructor accomplices. Mm-hmm. So then how did Fit to Vote start, you know, instigating events or activation? Like, tell us more about what you've been doing and what you've been seeing as a result of your theories, right? Because all these things that you were thinking of, like leveraging collective influence, taking the echo chamber conversations out into the open, because that's what your collective influence is meant to do, is influence something really important. So like, where have you seen that morph to now?
Sure. So the idea behind Fit to Vote was always to do, was always to create an opportunity for my Austin community to be a part of the storytelling. And by storytelling, down to the bare bones, it's a stylized, you know, photo with a white background and the words "vote" written or painted somewhere on your body. And you could pose, you could be in movement, you could be in a plank, I mean, whatever that were to look like, because it is specifically targeting our fitness community. I could get into that. It's that photo and then sharing, I am hashtag fit to vote because, or I vote for, or I vote because of X, Y, and Z. And so as fitness instructors, we have so much access to photographers, and, you know, just our minds are in the space of like, what does this look like for my social media? And most people aren't. And I saw, you know, clients engaged. I saw some instructors engaged. And I was like, well, I don't have, you know, if I were not an instructor, I would not know where to start. So let me create this. And so I connected with, and pretty much everyone involved in Fit to Vote is a previous client or a fellow instructor. And so I connected with a previous client who does events for this hotel that has a beautiful outdoor space. And I said, hey, this is my idea. What could we do? And he said, you know what, let's look at this outdoor space. I'll give you space. I said, great. I connected with another client, and she said, Mims, the photographer who also did our shoot, the first Society 9 shoot. Yeah.
Awesome.
She said, I love this. I'm going to donate my time to you. And then within that, it was like, okay, great. We've got the photographer. We have space. They, you know what my concept is. Then let's create a free community day for people to sign up for a time, show up, create this photo. And then at the same time, with our collective influence, our collective power, we'll all post our photos and our whys and our stories on one day. And the day we decided was early, first day of early voting in Texas, mm-hmm. which is October 13th. And so we will all then kind of blast everyone's social feeds with our why. And I don't think I want it to be personal. I wanted it to feel personal. I don't think people understand that voting is and should be personal. And that's a part of the campaign. We just did our media day on September 19th, and it was a blast. It was so much fun. It was just a day of kind of celebrating and creating and jamming out to good music and rubbing paint on our bodies. That sounds kind of weird, but...
Interesting.
But you know, it was outdoors. It was we made sure that it was socially distanced. Everyone was required to wear a mask if they were not eating, drinking, or taking a photo. And plenty of people were encouraged to take photos in masks as well if they wanted to do so. I mean, that was the activation a couple weeks ago. And the purpose behind it was to create the photos and also to bring lots of different instructors and clients from other studios that probably never would have met each other together to be excited about this.
Yeah. No, what I love so much when you originally reached out to me to bring up like this Fit to Vote idea, because it really was, I mean, that's the craziest part is like, listener, I don't think the listeners like realize this, but just to like give you a sense of how crazy time is right now as a construct. Mm-hmm. Like Jenny and I talked about this maybe a month ago, like just a month ago, maybe month and a half.
It was the end of July. And I think I was already, because I did the concept shoot in June. Like I started doing the logistic stuff in June.
Right.
And then July, we talked about it. / like I didn't launch the Instagram till like end of July.
Right.
August happened, and that was just like a roller coaster of personal things, and then sure. And I think that's important too, like learning when to rest and when to fight is like so it's a difficult balance, and I was definitely dealing with some personal things and like mm-hmm. when do I'm out of a period of my life where I want to push myself to where it's harmful to my mental well-being, and so mm-hmm. But really, like, I think we launched the event, right, maybe the last week of August, very possibly the first week of September. Like, this has all happened
in
3 months.
Yeah, first of all, impressive is, like, an understatement. But then also, it just goes to show, like, because I think everyone right now feels a collective frustration, anger, fear, just lots of energy and emotion around uncertainty, rightfully so. But I think a lot about how Fit to Vote is such an awesome example of manifestation of what can happen when you take that energy that's dumped into an echo chamber that no one thinks about or is talking about because it's private. And you're like, no, like this is really important. And we can stay here and keep cahootsing with each other, or we can actually like make something happen and make this conversation triply more productive because you're talking to the community more. So talk about the last event. What's your game plan for the next 4 weeks? And if you don't have a game plan and you're like, our group is just flying by the seat of our pants, depending on how things go week over week. What do you have planned coming up until November 3rd, essentially?
Yeah. I actually want to go back a little bit to your point that you made just now about how we're all feeling a lot of different things, some mm-hmm. of which are conflicting and some of which are very new. for some people, you know. We're all experiencing the world in a different way. And like, I don't at all want to, yeah, I mean, I want to give space to those that like, this has been a huge wake up call, because like, absolutely, like, that's amazing. Like, you're here, welcome. Mm-hmm. And so like, I've had a lot of people, you know, I've had someone who has handled my press. I've had someone who, you know, the photographer, the event space.
Yeah.
My like creative partner was the one who's done all the graphic design. That is 1,000% not me. Mm-hmm. His name's Josh Hansen, and he's remote if you're looking for things to be designed, websites to be designed. But
thanks, Josh.
Josh. But you know, my the guy who's been handling my press, I mean, many people involved have said to me at some point, like, hey, I just want to say thank you for letting me be a part of this, because it's really giving me something to do. It's really it's making me feel like I can help in some way. And I think that we all have felt so out of control and like, what do I do? And I think a lot of the times it's reminding yourself, like, what can I do in my pond? Mm-hmm. You don't have to change the world yourself, but what can I do in my small pond? Or maybe it's a big pond. What can I do in my corner of influence? Because it has a ripple effect. And, you know, to speak even further to that, the media day was planned like since July. We wanted to reserve the space, mm-hmm. but literally the night before, we're getting hype in the group text. I'm like, someone's like, fuck, I had to say it. There's no other word.
Yeah, there isn't.
RBG just died.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was devastated. And like, I sent a message privately to someone who was in the group text, and I just said, like, let yourself be sad. I'm sad. This is really, really scary and shitty. But this huge, powerful female presence has now left the world. It's giving space to other women to step into it. So
that's what she would want. I mean, not to sound corny, I'm not demeaning her passing. No. Like, if anything, my interpretation, my feeling here is like, we're speaking to her legacy. This is it precisely what she would have wanted.
She fought for.
Yeah.
I totally get, like, some of my friends were like, oh, I called my friend and we just cried. And I was like, I took a bath and went to bed. And like, and I know that's partially like my coping mechanisms, a little different. But, you know, I took a bath and went to bed and I was like, what we're doing tomorrow is important. Mm-hmm. And like, now this is our chance to show up. She couldn't be around forever, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And so like, ladies, let's go.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That weekend, same thing, you know, like the text messages, there were some people who had like backyard meetups, like, mm-hmm. let's have like a grieving celebration, fight on party, whatever, all of which was awesome. And like, it's like what you're saying. I don't get the impression at all that you are shaming anyone's grief pattern. No. And same here, like zero judgment on my part on anyone's grief pattern as well. I'm like you. I tend to, like, when she passed away, I said the same thing to someone else. My sister, I think, was the first person who I said fuck to. And then of course, like, the barrage of text messages and all that kind of stuff. And then my brain, personally, because this is how I processed, you know, when John Lewis died, C.T. Vivian, RBG, like, when all these civil rights greats died this year, the first thing I thought, first I cried, and then I was like, okay, they did not leave this earth. And, you know, RBG's case, she was literally like fighting to survive her cancers that easily she could have been like, peace out, bye y'all, good luck. Like, she could have rested long ago, but she's like, I am not leaving literally until my last breath. And in my head, I was like, I owe it to these people, our ancestors, our elders here, to do things right. And so I'm like you, I gracefully and respectfully declined the various grieving pools. And I was just like, I just need to read. Yeah. I need to read, get my head straight, intellectualize what's happening right now, and like, get the fuck out there and like, make something of not just me, but our existence here, and especially as women.
It's not fair. And I think this was kind of touched on in the world, in the media, like it's not fair to put the weight of the world on one person. And if anything, this should be a call to women, especially because I think women and artists are going to change the world, and that's it. Sorry, men. Sorry. But like, this should be a call to the next generation. Like nothing, like, oh, I hate to get like too philosophical, but like nothing in this lifetime was meant to last forever. And so, you know, it's like going back to that cycle idea. Like, I feel like 2020 has just been this like intense tidal wave that's kind of like washed out certain things. And it's like, we're getting endings, but we're also getting beginnings. And like, it's very overwhelming. I understand why we're all having a hard time, but it is, it's just a cycle of endings and beginnings and endings and beginnings, whether it's, you know, a breakup or like the end of your lunchtime, like it's all endings and beginnings.
I have a friend who works, I won't name who, but I have a friend who works for a particular senator, and she's been fortunately like a very grounding voice, mainly because she has insider information, but just like, you know, she's been a really good sounding board and like perspective giver. And she said kind of exactly the same thing you said about like the beginnings and endings, but she said in a different way, which was like, this country has always had severe flaws. It was built on exploitation. It was built on like the takings away of basically all groups except for one. And she was like, the only reason why this year is certainly much more painful than previous in a different way, not that the past 400 or 500 years have not been painful, but
I think we can all disagree this year has been a heightened collective pain because of the pandemic, and I'm not quite sure why. I mean, I don't have all the answers. No one has all the answers. But like, this in a heightened, almost everything this year has felt like a heightened loss.
The quotables today: heightened loss. Yes, Jenny just did a gorgeous air kick because she's just killing the quotables right now. But heightened loss is totally true. And I loved what you said about we can't put the pressure or power all on one person, you know, as it relates to RBG or even when John Lewis and C.T. Vivian died, it's like we can't put all this pressure on them or MLK, Malcolm X, like Rosa Parks. Like it was never their job. It was actually all of our jobs. And I feel the same. Like, I think the first thought I had, and I'm not trying to sound like a hater here. My intention here is just to highlight, hear me out. When RBG died, of course, everyone was grieving on the internet and stuff. I certainly did too. I did my memorial posts we all did that. But there was one, and this is the cynical voice in me, there was one part of me that was kind of like, wouldn't it be interesting if, like, I wonder if we took the collective minutes, energy, you know, mental, emotional labor of this, like, these curated Instagram stories and reposts of, you know, the RBG memoriams. What would happen if we took those collective minutes, emotional, mental labor, whatever, into getting out the vote?
Yes.
Into social justice reform, into any number of these things.
Right. And I think that goes back to a feeling of helplessness. I think a lot of people feel like, I don't know what to do, and I do know how to post it on social media. But I also think that there is a convenience to that. And I mean, I think about like back in 2018, I saw this guy speak at South by Southwest, who is the leader and founder of one of the big like social justice movement organizations here in Austin. And like in 2018, I heard him speak. I was like, oh my God, he's so incredible. It's like, I'm gonna volunteer for them. It's 2020, I still haven't volunteered for them. So like, absolutely. I think it is, it's difficult sometimes to then say like, how do I put action into this? And I think that we're all still struggling. Have you seen that AOC video where she's like, we're not going back to brunch? Like, I think a lot of people are also really still struggling with like, the world is never gonna be the same, because it's not. And if I I wonder if there's this notion of like, if I choose to then move forward in this world as a you know, fire putter outer, we're trying.
Yeah.
Do I lose that? Do I lose the comfort level of like on Sundays, I just enjoy brunch. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I just wonder, but your comment, our conversation around RBG as well as John Lewis, I mean, civil rights activists that have passed this year has made me think about, I'm a pretty big nerd, but like, haven't been to a Comic-Con, would like to go. If that makes sense. It made me think of, did you ever watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
I did not. I was too scared.
It's not that scary.
Listen, I don't touch anything with monsters and demons and vampires. I don't do none of that. I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh, that's like my thing. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, thank you, ma'am.
In the last episode, just like skip a minute ahead if you haven't watched the series and you're planning on it. She releases basically like every generation, there's one slayer, and she releases whatever it is, the like singular slayer power, to every girl, every woman who had slayer potential.
That sounds like an episode I need to watch.
So good. I'll just send you the last scene. I'll make sure it's not scary. I'll watch it again. But she like releases, I don't remember how, but she like releases the power so that every girl that could have been a slayer comes into that power. And so, you know, that's what that made me think about.
Yeah, no, I love that analogy. That is totally what RBG did. She was like, let's slay this shit.
Yes, exactly.
But I feel very, my soul feels very relieved just having this conversation, because I think what you're saying about people's, the crippling anxiety and pressure of like, right, what to do next. It's like, you, on the one hand, you're like, I should go and protest in March, or like, I should go. But then also, like I've said this on other episodes, mm-hmm, I think it's so important for people to define what activism means to them. Totally. And it's actually worse to do nothing. So if you take a step back and realize like, it's just about putting steps forward. It's not actually about being a Gandhi or a Mother Teresa or a Dalai Lama or a Malala Yousafzai. It's not about any of those things. And in fact, I would bet that all of those people would say, no, don't do what I did necessarily.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that came up a lot because, you know, when George Floyd was murdered, we had all of these protests and, you know, we were still very much in shelter in place. Mm-hmm. And so many people were asking, you know, like, oh, should I go to a protest? Maybe I will, maybe I won't, mm-hmm, because of COVID. And I also think there were plenty of people who were scared, and that's okay too. Mm-hmm. I had gone back to work by then, so I did not go, because I think that I felt like it was my job to stay, to not put myself in a position where I could get sick and then show up at a class and get everyone else sick.
Sure.
That's the exact conversation. That was not my version of activism this time, but my version of activism was then cranking out this intro packet and then starting to formulate. And that's the other thing. Your version of activism does not have to be starting a social justice movement on social media and within your community. Right. It can just be setting up an auto donation to,
sure,
the organization of your choice. It can, yeah, be, you know, I think a lot of people are having a lot of conversations behind closed doors, and you'll never see that on social media, nor do I want to. I don't want to see your comment because that social media is so, it's like a necessary evil, which I think is the thesis statement of this entire conversation.
Yes.
But like, I don't love how uncomfortable, like, it can get in the way that it's like, something should just be yours. Something should be kept for you.
Yeah.
And it doesn't need to be shared. No thanks.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I feel like your point about social media being blessing and curse, I think everyone would say that, but I think on the conversation around activism, something the last couple of weeks, like I've been pretty silent or just disconnected. I mean, on the one hand, there was wildfires in Oregon. They're still going on. It's still very serious.
Super casual.
Yeah. So on the one hand, I was like disconnected because I really just needed to focus on like literally people in my life and degrees of influence who are like, we're on a level 2 evac. Does anyone have a spare room or like extra food? Like just, you know, so I was disconnected personally from social media on that reason or for that purpose, on top of making sure I was safe and my team was safe because the air in Portland was literally like beyond hazardous. But that time was really interesting because not only was it like an existentialist crisis and a reminder of, yo, your neighbors are hurting right now. Some of these neighbors are vote on a certain side. They believed in a certain set of values before all this, but it doesn't matter. Like people are literally losing everything, including possibly their lives. So I think that time very quickly, I mean, this whole year has been an existential crisis, but that time in particular really resonated with me, the very thing you're saying, which is like, social media, yes, is an accessible way to communicate your activism, but there is something really gratifying that I think, Jenny, I'm going to speak for you, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like Jenny and I are basically kind of imploring all of you to just ask yourself, like, what's the kind of activism that can work for you? Because even as something as simple as an auto donation, you're going to get email newsletters from the organization you're supporting, you're going to get more information, and then all of a sudden you can have a conversation with your friends, family, neighbors, whatever, of like, yeah, I actually started supporting this organization, they do X, Y, and Z, and you don't know who you're going to impact by now sharing that information.
Right. And I want to speak to a point you made about like previously, you know, there are certain people, it doesn't matter who you know, your values, your
set politics, of yeah.
Pre-existing. I never, oh my God, my friend who did my press, Brian, was like, please lead with that. And I like always forget to. But Fit to Vote is a nonpartisan campaign because, and obviously I understand that it is attracting a certain demographic, but everyone should be invited to the table. And Fit to Vote, that name behind it comes from, yes, we're a fitness community, but you know, everyone is fit to vote. And that's where that comes from. But I also was thinking about like, so during when everything shut down, one of my good friends, and I am going to mention names because he's like one of the best people I know, and it's his birthday. He,
what's up? Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Kevin. So he is a vegan baker, and he honestly loves to be busy. So part of the lockdown, he was like, I'm just going to start baking bread because I'm bored. But I also, he also knew that you couldn't get bread anywhere, in the stores.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
In Austin, bread, pasta, like gone. And so, wow. Yeah, he was like, I'm going to start baking bread for my community. I'm going to put it on social media. Mm-hmm. Here we are again, necessary blessing and a curse. Mm-hmm. And I'll just see who, you know, it needs it. Like if they need it, they can come and pick up a loaf of bread and take it. And he was like, you can donate, but that's not the point of this. And he really picked up a lot of traction because people were just coming and saying like, thank you so much. And it's like, he didn't need to go protest. He didn't need to start a social media campaign and fitness community activation. He was just making bread Thursdays and Sundays for anyone who needed it to come take it.
I love that story. That's amazing. Yeah. And that's like, that gives me like so many heart feels because that's exactly what, you know, again, in disconnecting from social, even in under the worst and circumstances right now. I mean, we keep saying, you know, 2020 can get any worse, but you know, during that wildfire time where Oregon was real, except more heavy than it is now, just seeing that collective love that I don't think anyone was prepared for, considering how angry and scared this entire year has been for fearful I should say this year has been for everyone. So to just see people come out of the woodwork, put whatever it is aside, just be like, what do you need? And like, you know, all these restaurants, for example, all these restaurants are already struggling
Right.
And they turned so many restaurants and coffee shops turned their places into wildfire drop-off sites.
Wow.
For donations. There's a group in Portland called Free Fridge PDX. I know, right? Literally exactly what it sounds like. There are different community neighborhood pockets throughout Portland where there's literal fridges, refrigerators,
awesome,
hooked up to power, and food cabinets are set up in like these neighborhood blocks, and it's like, take what you need, leave what you want. I forget the tagline, but just like really incredible shit that you're like, this helps everyone. And like, there are a lot of values right now, country values, democratic values that are being challenged in a really scary way. At the same time, I do think it's so important that we break these, I don't know if tribalism is the right word, but just this like, I don't know, I don't want to risk co-opting a term, but I think using that term, I think people can infer what I'm trying to say, which is like, sure, breaking away from our thought circles and our sides, right? And just saying like, you hungry? Like, here you go. It's like those simple gestures are so important. So I love that story that you just shared about Kevin, because I think that's why I got so excited about Fit to Vote, was because like, on the one hand, yes, you're drawing a certain demo maybe, but that's not what you're in it for. That's not what your community of fitness instructors are in it for. You're in it for like, look, 100 million people did not participate, either because they aren't registered to vote or they just didn't vote, period, even though they are registered 4 years ago. That's absurd.
And not voting in the midterms, and also like, mm-hmm, creating this culture around like, this is a thing that not only we should be doing, but like, you should want to be doing. Mm-hmm. And this is why it's important. And this is the purpose of the midterms versus the general elections. And so, absolutely. And there's another component to it that I feel like in Austin, but I could only assume in other cities too, because the fitness market is so it's oversaturated at this point, mm-hmm, for the most part. And like, while I think that we have communities a lot of the times within our studios, mm-hmm, and we know each other, we know of each other, like, we're not working together, we're not coming together. And I think that was one of my favorite parts to see on Media Day, was to see, you know, these people that worked in different places that taught totally different things, just like come together for to get people excited to create. And also like, oh man, I gotta go take your class, like,
yeah,
go take this person's class together. And like, I love bringing people together, I love helping people make new friends. And so that was really cool to see, which actually answers your original question, which was, what's next?
Mm-hmm.
This weekend we have an event that is called the ATX Fitness Studio Takeover, and we're having 5 studios partake in it, and we're highlighting one specific class in each studio. Now, certain studios have decided to, you know, make it an all-day ordeal, or a couple of other instructors wanted to participate, so they're going to do a themed class as well. And then other instructors reach out to me and said, hey, I can't do that, but can I do this? Because I want to be involved. And I was like, sure, let's do it. I mean, truly, like, the more the merrier at this table. Mm-hmm. And so we have a schedule online that highlights, 2 cycling studios, a kind of like all-encompassing fitness studio. They do everything. Solid Core is one of them. I don't know what to call that, because it's not Pilates, but it's not. Anyways, and then the bootcamp gym that I teach at. And so we're having these 5 studios come together and then use their collective power with instructors that are excited to carry out this message as well. And it's bringing us together as a community too. So
that's really awesome. Well, definitely, that's this weekend, right? The ATX Fitness Studio Takeover.
Yes.
Very cool.
Third, the Mean Girls Day.
Love it. We'll definitely make sure to amplify that too on our social. And also, I have ideas.
Okay.
Related to this podcast, that related to Fit to Vote, though, that
great.
Would love to support you guys.
Yeah.
So actually that I can't thank you enough for your time today, Jenny. And like, this is why I love having these podcasts, is just having really passionate conversations outside of our echo chambers now, but also sharing like how are different people making this time work for them? Because it is so draining for all of us. It is. It's a really complex time. And sometimes with social media, as you and I, the grand conclusion, social media, there's no room for nuance. There's no room for the heavy layers. And I love that we can shed them here. So thank you for sharing everything you've been through and how this has emerged out of it. Can you let our audience know who to follow, where to follow, the handles, spell them out if need be as well. And we'll have it in your episode, listeners, we'll have it in the episode details as well. So if you didn't catch the names, you'll have it there as well. But yeah, hit us up.
Yeah. So my social media is at Jen May Bender. It's JennMeiBender. And then Fit to Vote, if you want to follow the movement and see what these vote photos I've been talking about, it is at Fit the number 2 Vote 2020. So it's FIT number 2 VOTE 2020.
Awesome. Yeah. And we'll have that on the episode details as well. So y'all can follow, but yeah, thank you so much, Jenny. Blessed to know you. Let's definitely do, if you're down for it, I'm gonna put you on the spot. We should definitely do like a midway point episode, because like if the election is November 3rd, maybe we do like a mid October, like people get your ballots in.
Yeah, do it.
Okay, cool.
We just made a lot of faces, just so you guys.
Yeah, you guys all missed out on the face game that we did. But yes, episode 2 is coming on this. So yeah, thanks, Jenny. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Talk to y'all later.